pink. I'm pink head to toe, baby.
Pink head to toe.
I am loving
this.
Welcome. Loving this for me.
Welcome to For Better and Worse.
Yeah.
This is our...
Thanks for having me on, Josh. Yeah,
this is our exclusive one-on-one sit-down with Racing Point's pit crew leader.
Oh, it's a joke that he keeps on telling. And it's hidden for you.
And those are my favorite kind of jokes.
Yeah. I'm happy, but I'm pink, and I love it. For the YouTubers, you're welcome. I look cute as hell.
There's no denying that.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Cheers, babe.
Cheers.
Love ya. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I guess we could probably start with F1.
Oh my gosh.
If you want to start there.
If we're starting current events, Formula One, everyone. Who said girls don't have hobbies? Can Formula One be a hobby?
Yes.
Sports can be a hobby.
Sports are a hobby. Most men,
I love it.
Their whole personalities are built around it. So,
and not to just like jinx the season or anything, but Ferrari got 1 and 2 at the race this weekend.
As somebody who's a sports guy, you just jinxed their season.
I said not to jinx it. So that Uno reverse cards.
No. That's not how reverses work.
Well, I'm sorting this out for myself, but we're very excited about this season of Formula One.
Yes, we are.
Again, I could geek out about it. I won't, because I know there are about approximately 5 people that watch Formula One that care. But guys, get on it. Drive to Survive, Netflix.
Start with season one. If you're not hooked after season one, then that's fine.
But yeah.
Start with season one and go from there.
But new season, new year. A new year of racing, new cars. Ferrari leveled up this year. And Charles Leclerc looks hot as ever.
He's always been a good-looking guy, just a little on the younger side. But this year, some pictures have come out of him looking very fly.
Oh, yeah.
I can agree to that.
I think he's like post-college age now, so it's all legal.
Like, he just got his first office job.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Doesn't he look like that? He looks like a... We won't get into it.
I think we can if you want.
But literally, guys, I'm in a fantasy league. Who am I? I'm invested. I'm invested hard.
Yep.
Josh, here's a question for you that I've been too embarrassed to ask anyone else. Because I feel like I haven't known about this for so long. What is the antisocial social club?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I feel so like it's Rachel been a while.
This, Rachel does this once every couple months,
yeah,
where she'll ask me about something in the zeitgeist and I'll explain it to her.
Yeah. So what is that?
That is a clothing brand as far as I'm
okay, concerned. So you don't even really know.
They're a clothing brand. They've been around for a couple years. They just make cool like one-off like shirts and hoodies and stuff. They're like skater boy, cool. Like,
I know Jess has some stuff, but I've been too embarrassed to bring it up in front of her.
Well, that is embarrassing, but yeah. Now you know. It's
it's just a clothing brand?
Yeah.
I thought it was some YouTuber brand or something.
No, just a clothing brand, as far as I'm concerned.
As far as it impacts
I'm
you.
I'm almost 30, so I'm like, I'm starting to lose it. The zeitgeist,
I'm looking
I'm losing
forward
my
to
grasp
that.
On the zeitgeist.
I'm looking forward to you losing it a little bit more, because last night... Guys, can we talk about technology and how it's plaguing the universe? Not to get dramatic, but I've just gotten to this point where I'm like, would I be so much happier without it? We're just scrolling.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to stay connected and hip, you have to scroll.
And why
you
do
have
we
to
want
scroll
that?
Constantly.
I'm going to fuck around and get a library card.
Yeah.
There's a library so close to our house.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm chronically online. It's not healthy. I recognize it, and I know. I am.
Like, there is zero chance that you listen to your app limits on Twitter. No chance. Did you take the app limit off Twitter? Because
no,
you are on Twitter.
I'm so bad with it, I'll ignore it every day. I ignore it every day.
Oh, so you just say, don't remind me ever again. Get out of my face.
But I want it to be omnipresent and like, hey, like your time's up. But then I'm still like, well, I got... Like, it was just NFL free agency. Like, I got to scroll.
For what?
Just in case some news breaks. Like, we had that breaking news on the hike.
Baker Mayfield, we are sorry.
Yes,
the city of Cleveland apologizes for you.
Yeah. And we denounced Jimmy Haslam formally.
We what?
We denounced Jimmy Haslam.
The Browns, again, I don't think all our listeners care about this, but the Browns know how to self-sabotage in a way that no other sporting team in the history of sporting teams could ever do it like the Browns.
They're the worst.
We can't. We can't get on. I will bring up something that you said this week to me, which made me laugh so hard I wrote it down. For example, is the shit Josh says segment. But out of nowhere, probably mid-scrolls.
Sponsored by Tech Systems.
Yeah. Shout out your place of work.
Sure.
All right. You looked to me and you said, hey, babe, what if we just floss once a week? Can you sign on with me? He's like, just once a week. He's like, I know we can't dedicate more time than that. Yep. But are there people out there really flossing?
And they're the people who have like brilliantly beautiful smiles. That's never going to be me, but I do want to like, for the health and sake of my gum line, I would like to floss at least once a week. And as the six, as a six,
yeah,
I need somebody to be on board about that.
Yeah, you need a buddy because you're anxious and then you need me to.
Yeah, so we put it on calendar. We'll floss once a week. I'll even bring you your floss.
I'm here for it. My gums are bloody, bruised and bloody after the flossing. So yeah, I thought of something that would be funny also. I'm coming. We're just rolling with it. Okay. Would you do me the honors of a trust exercise?
Sure. Yeah.
Can I see your last Google search?
It never saves. My Google searches don't save.
What do you mean?
I'm in private mode, I think, all the time.
It's you don't have a tab up?
No, I always close my tabs out.
That's so upsetting. So you can't even go to your history?
No.
All right. Well, that was anticlimactic.
Yikes.
Because I think about all the things I Google in a day, and it is outrageous.
But you're a tab girl. You're a tab gal.
Yeah, I'm tabbed out.
You've got 100 tabs up like an old lady who doesn't know how to close out a tab.
Don't look at my desktop.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see one single red notification on my phone. My email's tight and clean at work. My Gmail's just zero notifications. I'm constantly cleaning them suckers out.
Oh, my gosh.
Constantly updating.
I only have 13 tabs.
Like, you don't even update your phone.
No, God, no.
Which is psycho.
That's a racket. That is truly a racket.
But you're missing out on some, like, good things, like good emojis, cool widgets.
What are widgets?
Exactly. You basically have an iPhone 6 right now.
What is a widget? Is that a real thing?
Widgets are a real thing, yeah.
On the iPhone.
On the iPhone, yeah.
I feel like I had widgets on my LG Scoop.
Your LG Scoop?
Yeah.
Okay.
But whatever. The other...
LG, I will say, quick side tangent, LG had a chokehold on the phone game.
They did. Oh my
and they
God.
Didn't take advantage. They couldn't evolve the chocolate? Or adapt. Yes. They seriously fumbled the bag.
They did.
When it comes to cell phones.
Like, where are they now?
I don't know.
They make fridges.
they did so bad at phones, they got bullied into the fridge game.
The last thing I have written down. Guys, if you didn't know, hosting a podcast with someone that isn't your podcast host can be difficult. Because the banter, we banter, babe.
Yeah.
You sure you don't want any alcohol?
I'm good. Yeah, I appreciate it, though.
Because I'm about to be drunk rage. We love rage after dark. Okay.
Jess has brought this person out.
Never.
Is there like a name for Rage After Dark, or is it just Rage After Dark?
You can name me if you need.
Like Brittany.
Ew. No. And Brit, I mean, no disrespect.
Wow.
Wow. Sorry.
Yikes.
Brit and Brittany are two different names, just like Jess and Jessica are two different names. Okay.
That is true. Yeah.
There are so many names that got screwed over, right? I mean, I think Rachel's one of them. Jessica, Brittany, Kaylee, probably all of the girls of the early to mid 90s that were born with mean girl names that you had to rebrand.
Yeah. And it's going to take a full like human cycle.
Yeah.
Like we're talking a couple decades, like 40 to 50 years.
Before. Oh, and you know what can never be rebranded? Ashley. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
You are who you are. Okay. Recess might have doomed you, or it might have just shed light on the situation.
Here's a question. Were there any Ashleys in the 50s, do we think?
I feel like Ashley was a boy name.
Okay. The Ashleys that we know now never existed in the 50s.
Oh my God, monsters.
Yeah.
In any way you cut it, two E's at the end.
With oh. The... two E's at the end?
Ashley, like a Lee.
Yes, that's like... the worst person. Or A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H.
Don't. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to be out here naming people. I understand that.
And we're sorry if your name's Ashley, but go change
Speaking to Josh's sister.
And any other Ashley, go change it. If you're over 18, you can legally change it to whatever you want.
Yeah. And I mean, every time I've had a bride named Ashley, I just call them Ash because it's like, I can't go there with you.
Just Ash?
Yeah.
See, I would think about Pokemon, so that's the nerd in me, though.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, that's the that. Other than that, guys, Josh and I, we own a home together.
Own a home, currently flooded with anxiety about our new dog, who's been pooping and peeing inside the house, trying to figure it out. If you got any tips.
Yeah, if you have any tip of the dicks for
please.
Us. Because my question is, I don't think he get. We're doing the treat thing. I think it just takes time. I remember with Barley, it was about 6 months of just like, you'd think she's good. You think she's good. And then all of a sudden she'd have a week of like pissing in the house. And you're like, are you all right? But we were doing good for a couple of days there. And then
we slacked.
And then we had poop, poop, poop. But it's like, just tell me. Like, just tell me when you want to go outside. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like I'm gonna like I'm not rubbing their nose in it. I don't believe in negative whatever, but it's like, dude, just holler at me and I'll let you out.
Yeah,
but I'm working.
Yeah, the problem is they don't speak human, so
yeah. Oh, his name's Coors. We didn't even
his name is Coors.
Why is his name Coors?
Because I like Coors and he seems like a blue collar kind of guy. Coors yeah. is like a blue collar kind of beer.
Fair enough.
He's got a blue collar vibe, does he?
He
not?
Does. Yeah, he's scrappy.
He's scrappy. He's you know, he's Rust Belt. He's all those things. Hard hat. Bring your lunch pail to work kind of kid.
Yeah.
And his name before he was Coors was
Armani.
Armani. And it's like, what?
People at the rescues be naming dogs left, right, and center. Okay, you can't judge them. They're just trying to come up with something new. Something
Armani fun. Is the name of a dog that's a Pomeranian, lives in the hills, goes out with his mom and in his little purse, which is fine.
With the you know, Armani
it's
bag.
20, yep. Yeah. In the Armani bag, he's all Armani'd out, diamonds, not Coors. Coors is getting in the mud. He's pooping in the house. He's.
He's got a Carhartt leash.
Got a Carhartt leash. He wants to explore. He's doing everything outdoors.
He is. I mean, also so cute. We can't fault him for anything he does. But him and Barley are getting on great. So there's that.
Yeah.
Except for when they just get after each other. I literally had like two. I had therapy today. Okay. I have a new therapist now. Guess what her name is?
Ashley.
Jess. No. Oh. I would immediately. I know this about me. If I was paired with a therapist named Ashley, I would just say, new therapist, please.
Thank you, next. Like that show.
I'm sorry for all the Ashley slander. Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm not talking about you. Because I favor you. Okay. Oh, yeah, but I started a new therapist. And let me tell you guys, it's hard. I did not want to do it. Zero part of me wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. Zero part of me wanted to get a new therapist and do all of the racket.
It's such a drain. I trauma dump whenever I get a new therapist. That's my problem.
Yeah.
So
but and then you get
like
worn out.
It's so draining to me at this point.
Yeah. You could go to therapy for sure.
Yeah. I need an in-person therapy though.
Yeah.
I needed to be able to establish.
Oh, because you'll snake out of any situation you got. You sign up for BetterHelp and you would do phone calls, which is like,
yeah,
you could be anyone on the phone.
Yeah.
You can put up.
I literally was a sex talk operator when I was like 15 on the
phone. He's an idiot. No, he called a sex line when he was 13, I think.
No.
You're 15?
I was probably 14. We'll meet in the middle.
Okay. And he told me this story. He's like, I've always had a very mature voice. I called the sex line operator and she told me that I could work for the sex line. I was she was a sex worker telling you what you wanted to hear.
She said I had a deep voice and then I was very hot.
And of course she did.
I've misconstrued that over the years to think that I could possibly have a career in that line of work.
But you don't.
But I don't, no.
I mean, you could. I mean, babe, as someone who used to text you as a 17-year-old, smoothest texter in the biz. Oh, yeah. Honestly, swagged out.
Yeah.
Meet you in person.
I'm Rico Suave on the phone. And just a clammy
Zach Galifianakis in person. Yeah.
In person.
I mean, I've grown to love it.
Yeah.
And granted, when I went out with you when you were 26,
mm-hmm.
you were a real person.
It's funny how it's almost flipped now, because now we just text about what we want from the grocery store. And it's not really anything.
I know. Special. Well, like, yeah, we don't text anymore, really.
Yeah.
I wish you had Marco Polo, though. I've still mm-hmm. been starting a petition about that. All right, Josh, are you ready for some Q&A before we get into our meet this week?
Not to be confused with QAnon, which my dad loves, but yeah, let's go off.
And we will keep moving forward from that segment because I don't have great things to say. Okay.
We can cut that out.
All right. Someone asked, what is your job, Josh?
Yeah, great question. So I am a technical recruiter. I basically recruit IT nerds, I guess, for a bunch of different companies here in Northeast Ohio and across the United States.
Nice.
Yep.
Do you like your job?
I love it, yeah. It's a job that I don't mind going home and putting in some extra time and pulling out my computer when we're just like hanging out.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And it's something that I don't get like the full Sunday scaries going into Monday.
That's nice.
Which, what more can you ask for?
Yeah. I mean, you still get them. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, there's still a touch of them for sure. But like, yeah. I'm not like full blown like, shit, I got to go to work this week again. My weekend's over.
Yeah.
So.
But also, the next question, another question we got is, what's the worst job you've ever had?
Great question. Step two, if anybody ever tries to get you to work at step two.
Which is what, like Little Tykes?
It's a Little Tykes. They make those little yellow and red cars.
Yeah.
That you've seen like funny. Yeah.
How long did you work there?
I worked there a half shift. So about 4 hours.
And what happened to you in those 4 hours?
A lot of self-evaluation and internal monologues. And I remember my dad was really just pressuring me to get a job. And I was like, shit, this place is hiring.
How old are you?
I was, I don't know, maybe right out of high school.
Oh, God, yeah. Your work ethic was bad. You were even high and you couldn't even do that job.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, you were stoned out. I know that for a fact.
Oh, I was blazing. And not good weed either. It was like dirt weed, like ditch weed.
Yeah. Well, ditch weed.
But what they had me doing was on those little. It was boof.
I don't know what boof is, but that's a cute name.
Yeah. Could have named Coors Boof.
Boof is such a cute name.
I agree.
Let's put it in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe our next cat.
Oh, my God. Herschel and Boof?
Yeah.
Tell me that's not a kid's clothing line.
We got to cut that because that is for sure. That's $1 million idea. Oshkosh who? Oshkosh bagosh who?
So
they had me. It was pretty straightforward work. It's factory work. I was just the guy who built.
You were not the guy. You were a person.
I was not the guy. I was not the guy. I basically just pressed these two molds that injected plastic, and they were just the front pieces to that little red and yellow car.
Yeah.
So there's the top, there's like four supports, and then the red bottom.
Yeah.
That people always got in and like film funny videos going down hills and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or just like children playing and
yeah, children use them too.
We're on different sides of the internet.
So I built the front two supports.
You built them for 4 hours.
I built them for four. I pumped out a lot. I probably did about 70 of them.
Wow.
Which is insane.
That wasn't satisfying to you?
No, it made me want to actually kill myself.
Yeah.
And no, I hated it. It was the worst job. I can remember everything about that day so vividly.
And you worked factory work.
Yeah. I worked as an extrusion operator too.
Yeah. And you did that for a while.
Yeah. Yep. Like,
so something about step two.
Step two, it was just like, I was 4 hours in and it was like a 12-hour shift. I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is not going to ever end. I'm going to be here until I die. And I literally went out. I started eating my lunch. I was like 2 bites into my sandwich. I'm like, fuck this. Got into my 97 gold Chevy Venture and just hit the road. I think I might have went to my Aunt Deidre's that day. I might have faked and told my dad that I was still working there for like 2 weeks.
No,
and I would
yeah.
just go to my Aunt Deidre's house and hang out with Cousin Andy and smoke pot.
I mean, you did what you had to do.
Yep.
So, I mean, here you are now, a real professional.
Real business professional, white collar. I'm on LinkedIn, so not to brag.
For random.
Over 150 connections. No big
wow.
deal.
Wow. Connect them if you want.
Connect, yeah.
If you're looking for a IT gig. I'm going to do one more, and then we'll revisit some of the more serious things. But Josh, do another. This is a question. You've answered this, but how did you propose?
Yeah. So if you'll tune into
the proposal episode,
the proposal episode, you'll hear more in depth. But it was really sweet. I've had the ring for a while. It was our first night, February 26th, in the new house. Rachel just got done bawling her eyes out because she is such a mama's girl, apparently. Who knew?
Wow, don't do me like that. Okay.
Bawling her. Well, Cher's a good mom to cry about.
Yeah.
So I'll say
okay.
that.
We will say that.
Bawling her eyes out, and I just took her aside and said some really pleasant and sweet things to her and some stuff that I think about whenever I'm alone or driving in my car.
What do you think about? That's a question.
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Give me a little taste of it again.
No, I'll save that for the wedding. I have probably a 20-minute speech right now running of different things in my OneNote or my notes app that I got to really condense down to about.
No, I want you to say them all.
You want the full 20.
Well, give me a speech. Okay. Like, we can do vows and then give me a speech.
Okay, yeah.
So I have funny stuff I could say about you.
I've got both, so.
Okay, we'll workshop it for yeah. sure.
Yeah, just said some nice things and then said, will you marry me? And she thought it was a joke at first. And then I said, no, seriously, I'm going to go get
it. I never thought
ring.
It was a joke. I just didn't know it was happening.
So I went and got the ring, which was above the oven. And came back in and got on one knee next to the bed, and that was that.
And I said yes.
And she said yes.
Great.
And I thank you for that.
Oh, I love you endlessly. And I'm excited to read some of our listeners submitted best marriage advice and worst marriage advice. We're going to get into that. Let's hit the ground running with a very popular one in the worst advice category. Someone did submit it in the best advice category, but it is the, I would say, cliche of never go to bed angry. I agree that it it is not the best advice in the world, because I think there are situations where if you're in the heat of the moment, like in you're in an argument or a discussion that's not like, no matter what's not going to be solved that night, like it's okay to just go to bed. And I think someone said like a better version of this is don't go to bed resentful. Because I think there have been times where you and I have been like, all right, let's call it. Like, just go to bed. Like, I love you. I'm sorry we're fighting. But you as a six might not like the...
No, I hate it. I don't want to go to bed angry. But I do understand that sometimes it's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're both frustrated. Let's pick up tomorrow. And then the next day we'll... talk about like, hey, this is what I was actually feeling. This is what you're feeling.
I think like normalizing taking some space and time. Yeah.
But also, it's just like there's nothing worse than lying there when you're falling asleep easily and I'm not falling asleep easily because I'm still mad. So that's why I would like to not go to bed angry.
Oh yeah.
Because it makes it hard to go to sleep. Like physically it makes it hard to go to sleep.
Yeah.
We can work anything out, but like, I want to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
So I would prefer not to go to bed angry. I would like to work things out. And usually we do a pretty good job at that. So,
yeah, I think there are just some situations. I don't know. I feel like you and I have not been in that many bad arguments.
No.
To the point where I feel like that hasn't happened a lot. I can think of one time and I can't remember what the fight was that I did was like, I'm going to bed. I love you. I'm going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dealing with this.
No, and there's no, as somebody who loves to forget a fight, there's no way I remember that either. that's been built into me since a child. I'm not remembering no fights.
Yeah. Leave that for the therapist.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and we got some best advice here somebody sent in that really stuck with me.
Yeah, from the Google form.
From the Google form, yep. Shout out to the Google form and everybody who submitted. We appreciate all the
replies. We do. You guys turned out, for sure.
Yeah, every time. That's awesome. Okay. But it was from a young lady, I'm assuming. That's probably your demographic, right?
It is the demographic.
Young lady, 18 to 35. That's the demo. So we're assuming it's right there. She said, before my mom got engaged to my dad and they were just dating, they went on vacation together. And my mom wanted to go dancing at a club, but my dad didn't. My mom was upset about this and remembers being on the plane coming home, wondering if it was going to work out between them since they were so different. But she realized that those differences were not as important as she made seem. Like if she wanted to go dancing, she could just go do that with her friends. And if my dad wanted to go to a metal concert, he could do that with his friends.
Yeah.
And that it's not, I think this is important, it's not your interests that need to be compatible, but your values.
Ooh.
She said, I hope this makes sense, but we really appreciate you sending that in. It does make sense.
Yeah.
As somebody who has a plethora of hobbies, who is dating somebody who has just found one hobby, F1.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, you have.
Do I have a high value man? Do I have a high value man on the podcast right now? Did I give a man a microphone? Everyone, dangerous.
It is dangerous, but I mean, your hobbies are F1 and work because.
Because anytime I get a hobby, I'm like, how can I make this my whole entire existence?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not healthy.
No, it's not. But I mean, you read every once in a while, but it's mainly really,
I'm telling you, I'm going to get a library card.
Yeah. But right now it's literally, you're so slammed with work. We only have time for like the F1 races on Sunday, which we love.
Yes.
We won't go back into that, but that's some of my favorite time with you.
Oh, that's so nice. I love you so much.
I love you too. But yeah, you don't have to share interests. Like I golf and I play video games, so like
I don't participate in those things. I support those things, like as long as they're healthy, you know, like but I think as a society, like we're moving beyond the like idea that you have to be your person's everything. Like, that's just not realistic.
No.
Like, I think that, like, that's not healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to think that, like, oh, he doesn't want to go dancing. Like, I mean, it's one thing if I really wanted to go dancing and you knew it was important to me, you would go, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect you to go dancing every single weekend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's something to be said about, like, the give and take, right? Of, like, okay, I know my, you know, fiance, girlfriend, wife would really love it if I did this with her. Went to a pottery class, went to a Broadway show. Like, you don't want to feel like you're doing life alone.
No.
But you also need to be content in your own happiness and your hobbies and know, oh, if I want to go see this show, go to this place, do this thing, I can do that with my friend, my sister, my mom. Mm-hmm. Like, because honestly, if I have to take you to something that you're not, like, anytime Josh and I put on a movie, like a Disney movie, he's like, is this a musical? Oh, shit.
That's not what I sound like.
Is this a musical?
It sounds like a general in the army.
Is this a musical? And then you get all like, is this a musical?
It's just sometimes they are too sing-songy. I love Disney movies. I'll say that. And I have no problem with saying that.
But not if they're a musical?
But not if they're a musical? No. I think I'm more Pixar.
Yeah, you're a Pixar guy.
Pixar, and I always lumped them in the one category, but I am more Pixar over Disney, the sing-songies.
Well, and Pixar might leave Disney.
Yep. But we're happy for it.
Which we're happy for. Transphobia has no place here, and we're happy for Pixar if they leave. I mean, I'll support Pixar wherever they go.
Oh, Disney's dark.
Your person cannot be your everything, and we'll leave it at that. And I think that's a good... I'm glad you had that example growing up of parents that are opposites but still value each other. And I think that's bottom line. Like, mm-hmm. Do you still value who your person is?
Yeah, and I think spending time apart, there is something to that. Like, going off and doing your own thing for a little while, whether it be a couple hours on a Saturday, it makes you more genuinely happy to see that person, you know, if you spent 8, 10, 12 hours apart.
Yeah.
Keeps the love alive, babe.
So are you saying the golf course keeps our love alive?
Golf course keeps the love alive.
I work on Saturdays, so.
It's a perfect storm.
It really is. Oh, I'm going to have to ignore my limit on Instagram so I can read everybody's DMs. Okay, let's do a worst advice.
Sure.
Okay.
I will say this. One of the worst advices that stood out to me that I saw was if he cheats on you, stay. That made me puke in my mouth. I was like, who is your aunt? Who
were they Christians?
Yeah.
Were they involved in the church?
100% had to be.
Oh, yeah. Because forgiveness is the most powerful gift you can give someone, and but you, also yourself, Josh. And
there are certain situations where I could see where...
Irony. That was irony that I was saying.
Yeah. Certain situations where people might cheat on their significant other, but they do repair that bond.
Oh, I mean... And
it takes a special relationship for
it,
sure.
It takes a special relationship to do that. I'm not saying that infidelity is an incurable situation, but it's a huge red flag. And I think I think that people who have been unfaithful to their partners would say that too. Like, mm-hmm. they fucked up. You own it. You work through it. And it's not my place, your place, anyone's place to judge another person's relationship if they choose to work through that, because it's something to work through. Mm-hmm. But it's not a blanket statement of, like, no matter what, you stand by your man.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Because it's always, always stand by your man. It is never stand by your woman.
Mm, go off, sis.
I mean, it is. Have you ever heard the term stand by your woman?
Nope.
No.
It's because it doesn't exist. It's not in the realm of thought.
No. Okay, here's another best. Are you ready for another best?
I'm ready.
I don't think there's any order to these best or worst. Okay, best relationship advice I've ever gotten was from my mom. My fiance and I were in a really rocky place in our relationship, and he began holding our engagement up over my head, which led me to being a shell of myself in order to appease him so that he wouldn't call things off. My mom and I were driving one day, and she expressed her worry that I would have to become someone I'm not in order to stay in the relationship. I told her I was too afraid to lose him, and she looked at me and said, there was a time in your life before you ever met him that you were okay, which means there can be a time in your life that you lose him and you will be okay. That made things just click into place for me. We broke up a few days later. Since then, I've entered any new relationship with the mindset that I'm with someone because I want to be, not because I need to be. I think a lot of us need to be reminded that we are enough all on our own, and a relationship is supposed to add to our life, not be our life.
That's huge.
I am emotional about that.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. Your mom, wise woman.
Very wise. Wise, very, very wise woman. She's super smart and super emotionally intelligent.
And I think just spoke exactly the right words to you. I think it's really hard, like, when you're in a relationship and in a bad place in your relationship to, like, actually listen to your mom, you know?
Oh, have we been there?
Yeah. More with my dad and my sister.
Oh, okay.
It was not a place that I was willing to go.
Gotcha.
But I do feel like, and I mean, I even said this to my therapist. I said this here. Like, getting married again, being with you, like, it is wholeheartedly like this, like, I want you, I don't need you. And I think that's a weird place to be, like, because I think your whole life you're sold these narratives and these, you know, romantic comedies and these romance novels that, like, in order to truly be in love, you can't eat, you can't sleep, can't breathe without them. But it's like, I know I never want to live a day without you. But if push came to shove, I could.
Mm-hmm.
And
statistically speaking, you'll have to, because men die sooner than women. So
good point. What about you? I feel like I've obviously lived this, right? Like, how would you feel? I mean, you're in a different, we come from different paths, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you could be okay without me?
Yeah, I would be okay. Would I not be as happy? Sure. Would, like, that happiness come back around eventually? Yes. But yeah, I think I would be okay. It would be tough because this is, like, I haven't been through what some other people might have been through, like yourself, where you've been in a marriage and you've come out on the other end of that. Mm-hmm. After experiencing all those feelings and, like, getting married and being proposed to, like, those are real feelings that you've went through.
Yeah.
And feeling like you have to almost be in somebody's life. And then you went through the divorce and everything. And now you're like, I'm Rachel Roche. I'm a badass and I can be by myself.
Yeah.
As somebody who came from more of an emotionally traumatizing upbringing and household, it would be hard for me.
Yeah.
For sure. But I could do it. I know I could do it.
Yeah.
I might do something crazy, like go follow like a jam band or something. I would.
What's
I would
your leave. Jam band of choice?
It'd be like something dumb, like Slightly Stupid or like Acoustic Hookah. I'd follow them around somewhere. I'd get like a van off
Facebook.
You'd
be a roadie?
Oh, I'd be a roadie. I'd just hit the road.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I think I'd be okay. And I think people need to, I don't think they need to be at that point in order to get into a relationship, but you have to kind of just be cognitively aware that you should be able to be okay without someone.
Yeah. And I think that all ties into the, like, someone should not be your everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and I said this, you know, to my dad recently about, like, I don't need Josh, right? I mean, it was after you proposed. I was like, but I'm here with you now, like, to dad. I was like, and I wish Josh was here because I just enjoy life more when he's mm-hmm. around. Like, I love being in a room with you just to look at you and, like, have that, like, I don't know, that laugh, that,
them
like,
eyes.
Yeah. Like,
them
even
eyes.
Like, even when we're not like standing next to each other in the same conversation, just like knowing there is a person in the room that's on your frequency that can like, I don't know.
So it's like almost like a life raft if you need it.
Yeah. And it's a laugh if I need it, you know, yeah. Like you're my emotional support person. I guess.
Do I need to get certified for that? Yeah. And wear like a vest?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't pet me? Yeah. Don't feed me treats.
Dog on duty. Yeah. Boyfriend on duty. But yeah, that really changed things for me when I was like, I think in my past marriage relationship, I felt like I had to like hold the entire emotional space for someone, which like exhausted me, and I didn't enjoy being in social situations with them. But with you, I enjoy you. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, you got a social butterfly, so that helps.
But I could live without you. I know that. Like when you've walked this road, it's this like sad truth of like, I know that like marriage isn't enough. I know that love isn't enough. But I know that like my desire to constantly work on things with you is so deep because I love living life with you and I want that to keep happening.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And I want to keep working on it with you too.
Bet.
And making you laugh. It's like a 70-30 split if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I bring the jokes. Rachel brings the laughs.
Okay. I bring the jokes. Rachel got jokes.
Rachel has a podcast, and that's a fact, but I definitely bring the jokes.
Josh, you know that statistically, I'm funnier.
Statistically, sure, but how many times have you won 2011 Class Clown?
All right.
For Theodore Roosevelt All right. High School?
All right. Keep bringing
that up.
Because
there's only one winner of that I know of, and that's me.
Okay.
And some people say it was a sham. Some people say the vote was rigged.
Did you rig the vote? Did you work for yearbook?
No, I didn't. I just had ins with like DECA and the people.
What does DECA have to do with it? DECA is the business. Oh. The business special school.
That's how you know I went to high school. I wasn't super smart.
You went to DECA?
No, I did not go to DECA, but I had no idea what DECA did. I was like, oh, you guys do yearbook, don't you?
Do you feel like they were just like the Illuminati?
Yes.
Of Roosevelt?
Oh my God, yes. They would go into that one room, and I'm like, what are you doing in there?
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I had the in, and I knew all the people who were who
pulling
were running
strings.
It. Yeah, pulling the strings, and me and Laurel Kester won it, so.
Laurel Kester?
Oh, yeah, is that her name?
Nope.
What's her name?
Crocker.
Laurel Crocker.
The 20 people from Roosevelt that listen to this are going to be very interested in the past 2 minutes that we've just talked about. All right, babe, you're next. Read a best or worst. I'm two beers in. I have no idea where we're at.
Here's one. Skip the wedding.
Is that best advice or worst advice?
Worst advice. That's worst advice. Skip the wedding. Save the money. Terrible advice. Money isn't real.
What did the person say? That was just that?
Yeah, she said, worst advice, skip the wedding. She had a blast at her wedding. It's usually coming from people who have had their wedding and have had that experience.
Yep. Or have had a wedding and it was a shitty wedding.
Yeah. But as somebody who's going on her second wedding, not to brag.
Not to brag.
Not to brag. Do you think people should skip their weddings? Or tailor it to the...
Yeah, I feel like... So, we toyed around with an elopement.
Yeah.
We did. We toyed around with, like, Italy and all that shit.
Which would have been cool.
Which would have been cool. But in the end, I was like, what's really important to me is, like, my family being there and our friends. Like, I didn't want to have to choose between people to, like, document it. And then it was like... Because my best friends are the ones that document my wedding, I was like, Laura wouldn't be there, my sister. Like, my mom wouldn't. I was like, it's just too. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was just like, I'd have Madison and Jess there, and then it would just be FOMO for everybody else. So, I don't know. We toyed around with that. And, I mean, it is logistically easier, obviously. Like, you just worry about you and that person. But weddings can be fun. What I say to my clients all the time is, like, plan a wedding you're genuinely excited to go to. And
like, it's a full-on event.
Yeah. Like, events are worth it. Like,
be excited about the food. Be excited about, you know,
what you're dancing, wearing,
the playlist.
Yeah.
It needs to be this, like, exciting thing. It's not like, oh, I have to make the playlist for the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to go pick out food.
Yeah. Like, there are things, like, I think the wedding industry obviously, like, pigeonholes you into. Like, there's this whole checklist that you have to, you know, do. But doing this the second time around, there's things I don't give a shit about.
No.
We're going to get a sheet cake from Giant Eagle, babe.
We're going to do it different.
I don't. There are things that, like, I don't need to, like, worry about. I very much feel that way. Like, we will genuinely, Giant Eagle sheet cakes are elite.
Yeah, and we can get whatever we want on them.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't need to cut a cake. And I think it's just, like, removing yourself from the expectations of others. But weddings are fun.
Like, that's the most important thing that I've realized planning this, is not giving a shit about what other people think.
Yeah.
And ours is going to be very fun. It's going to be very on brand for us. And I have nothing but your previous experiences to thank for that, because you've been through the whole, you know, walk, you know, your dad walks you down the aisle, gives you away, shakes the person's hand. 300 people are there. 60 of them you don't know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's not, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
So.
And we could honestly do a whole episode about how we're doing things differently. We could probably just do it a post-wedding episode, all the things that we ended up doing differently. So I won't make you do this more than once in the next few months, you know.
That's fine. I know what I signed up for.
I don't think you do. But happy to have you. But yeah, there's a way to have a great wedding. I will say that. But I mean, there are people, that's a common thing that people say, like, don't get married, just go to City Hall. Don't spend all that money on a wedding. Who fucking cares? Spend the money on the wedding.
Yeah, spend a little money on the wedding. Have a good time with your family and friends. Go to Southern California on a work/honeymoon trip and call it a day.
That's what we're doing. Okay. I really like this. I think this is interesting. Okay, so she says, the worst advice that I ever got was, you need to find someone that matches your energy. I'm a true extrovert's extrovert, and I've never been happier with a partner than I am now with my current introverted king. We complement each other. He fills all my gaps, metaphorically. Get your mind out of the gutter. Every time I dated a guy that matched my energy, we were miserable and fought constantly because we were both fighting for the spotlight and subconsciously competing against each other. Forget that BS. I say find the partner that will eat the drummies, because you know the flats are where it's at.
That's a Wing reference.
Okay.
Also, flats are where it's at. She is correct on that.
Or who will set the clocks back during daylight savings, because he knows you'll never do it. But he does know that you'll be the one to call the pizza place every damn time. Love the pod, gals. Keep it up.
So sweet.
I do agree with that. I think a better sentiment is, be with a person that loves your energy.
Yeah.
You don't have to be at 100 if you're also at 100.
Yeah. It can match, it cannot match, but if you, both parties have to love
each other's energy. Yeah,
the other person's energy and what they bring to the table.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that you and I are opposites.
No.
No.
Not at all.
But we have different vibes for sure.
Yes, we do.
You are an introverted extrovert.
Yes.
And I am an extroverted introvert.
Yes.
For sure.
And introverted extrovert is what I am.
So yeah. So you get energy from other people.
Yeah.
But
I also love to cancel plans. Like,
it's,
it's my favorite thing. Like, canceling plans is so elite.
Gives you a hard on, huh?
Oh my God. It's the best. Sorry, I like literally, like, I could get sexual about it. Like,
remember when you told me I was right the other day?
Yeah,
and I literally
you almost jumped my bones.
I was
right,
like,
there.
Tell me more.
I gotta do that more often.
He was like, I hate to say this, but you were right. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Did you just impregnate me in this moment? It was nice.
That's on growth for me too.
Yeah.
Recognize my growth.
I mean, it was hot. I'll say that. I was hot. I immediately got flushed. Like, like, God, am I ovulating or what?
Check the app.
Check the app. So here's a worst. It says, we just got married in November and all leading up to it, people were telling us to enjoy it while it lasts because love fades and you get divorced.
Jesus. Who are you talking to?
Not the best advice to give people a month before their wedding to encourage them. Like, sorry, yours didn't work out. That doesn't mean ours will be the same way. People are insane.
Yeah. First of all, whoever told you that needs therapy bad.
Yeah.
Because they've experienced some things that have made them seriously jaded.
Yeah. Did you spill water all over yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. The YouTube will love that.
I do have a butt chin, so it's not my fault.
What does that have to do with your ability to drink water?
Water falls out of my butt chin.
Do you put it in your butt chin and not in your mouth?
Sometimes I miss my mouth, yeah.
Okay. I'll let that out. Sure. Yeah. I don't think love fluctuates. Attraction fluctuates. All things can like wane and wave or whatever the words are. That's not right.
No. Love is a roller coaster.
Love is a battlefield.
Yes, love is a battlefield.
Jordan Sparks. But it should be. That's not. Don't take that. Don't listen to me. Okay. And here, I'll end it here. There's so people submitted so much stuff. Jess and I should do another episode on this. But okay. So the last one, because there is some other good Q&As to do. But the last, we'll end it on a positive note. Best advice. In an argument, remember that you're on the same team. Your partner is not the enemy. Arguing is a sign that you're deeply invested.
Mm. Yeah, remembering on you're on the same team. As a sports guy, that really appeals to me. I love being on a team. And I think that goes past the relationship part too. Like when you're out in public, it should be like not like a you two versus the world, but like always having your partner's back.
Like a united front.
A united front. Yeah, fighting everything on a united front. And that's even when it comes to, you know, whenever you have some issues, whenever your partner's maybe has some issues with your family.
When would that ever happen?
But just being a united front, trying to understand where they come from because it's your family. You've known your family for so long.
I like that you're talking generally when you know this is
I'm just speaking generally. This isn't coming from anywhere.
Oh my God.
But you've loved your family for so long, and there's this person who you almost love even more, which is crazy to say. And you just want to understand where they're coming from whenever they do have issues with your family, especially when your family, you know, generally speaking, may or may not have said something very terrible.
Mm.
So also just to reiterate, generally speaking.
Nothing specific or related to us. But I mean, I think obviously not saying this situation is about us, but that is the first time, like, I think with us when we were getting in arguments that I was like, I'm having these conversations, I'm having these problems because I love you and I'm on your team. Like, and I feel like when you're, if what you're working for isn't the need to be right, but it's the need to be, God, I'm burping. Thank you, beer. It's not the need to be right, but it's the need to be united, right? Like, don't get me wrong, get a heart on when you tell me that I'm right. Mm. But whenever we fight, I think it's for the need of like getting deeper into our relationship, gaining more understanding, you know, growing. Like arguments are terrible. They can't. I mean, for you, if I raise my voice, we're in a shutdown for about 2 to 3 business days.
Oh yeah. Don't talk to me.
No yelling.
Please do not yell.
If I talk even remotely seriously, Josh is like, you're yelling. And I'm like, don't be so cute. Don't be so cute.
I don't want to be yelled at.
I get that.
It's just brings up a lot of things.
But nothing about his past.
No, God, no. I had a peachy keen, picture perfect childhood.
Yeah. Picket fence.
White picket fence. We had the double wide.
You're here now.
I'm here now. I've got a home. We've got a great partner, great dogs.
Hopefully they're still great.
Oh.
Right. Let's get to the Q&A before we get back home to Barley and Coors.
Okay.
This is something interesting, and this is totally unrelated to anything we've been talking about, but I've seen some TikToks on this, and I think it's interesting for us to talk about. Okay. So a question was, do you two ever have to deal with mismatched libido in your relationship?
Yeah, I think literally every relationship that's ever existed has.
You do?
But ours does.
Yeah.
For sure.
In what way?
In the way that, like maybe one night, you know, obviously you might not be feeling it or something.
So, but mismatched libido. So I have a lower sex drive than you. Is that the thought?
I don't think so. When I say mismatch, I mean just like it's not matching up the same night.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's like a...
Mismatch libido, I think, typically means one person desires sex more than the other.
Oh, no. I don't think that's the case for us at all.
No. I would say sometimes we pass each other in the night.
Yes.
Truly, my sex drive depends on my cycle. So, like, I'm like... 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Like, I can have sex twice a day for about 2 weeks. Not that we do. We don't have
that kind of time. I'm almost 30. your boy's low T and he's got to recharge, okay?
But I'm just saying, like, but then there are 2 weeks where I'm like, don't look at me, don't touch me.
Yeah, and then it comes to this weird point to where it's like, you start to feel... certain feelings around it.
I think
because you think that we're not doing it enough, or
that is a trauma that I've carried for a long time, and that's not even from my marriage. That's from before marriage.
And it's something that I try to talk to you about every time. Like, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, I would rather not. Like, I don't want you to have to force yourself to enjoy this type of situation.
And I've like on consent. Unless it's a hell yes, it's a hell no.
Yeah.
Is something I've heard, which I think I've said to myself. Because I think a lot of women are just like, sure, who cares? I can lie here and you can get off and we can roll over and be fine. But coming to the realization that that's like so unhealthy and so toxic.
Oh,
it
takes the pizzazz out of it.
Yeah. Like, I love having sex with you. But, like, I have to want to have sex.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you. It's not like I don't desire you or I don't want you.
Yeah.
But mismatched libido can be a real problem. But something that I think is navigating if you feel fulfilled in every other aspect of your relationship. Because I think as a woman, if you feel like you're carrying a lot of the emotional weight of your relationship or the physical weight of your relationship or the, you know, daily tasks of your relationship, of course you don't have energy for like sexual things, right? Because you've spent all of the energy you have. So we don't particularly deal with that. But sex is something we talk about a lot.
But I could see how that could be an issue for a couple.
Yeah.
Where it's just like one person might be a little bit lower on the spectrum versus the other person.
Yeah.
And the other person's starting to become sexually frustrated because they feel like their needs aren't being met.
Yeah.
But it's never
be known.
Yeah.
Let it be known you can meet your own needs.
That's true.
You can meet your own needs.
We've all been doing it since like 13-ish, 14-ish.
So that's fine. And I feel like if you're on the low, Josh says low T, but if you're a woman and you struggle with feeling sexual, like Something that really helped me was self-exploration, aka masturbating. Like
the big M.
The big M. But I think for me, knowing what feels good, knowing that sex doesn't have to be about getting an orgasm, knowing that like I know what my body wants, and that really changed the game for me. So do with that what you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's do another one. Kids, how soon or too soon?
For us two?
Yeah.
Rachel says a year after we get married, so.
A year. My rule is 1 year of just being married, and then we can try having kids.
But also, like, I am so on the fence about this.
About children?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like, God, like, this fucking dog is taking it out of me.
I know.
Like, you mean to tell me I have to care for a little poop sack that's pooping and peeing on itself?
Maybe we can work out a custody agreement with Madison and Eric.
But you know? Also, because
it'd be so cool to just, you know, like, you could play catch with Eric. Eric was over at our house. You tell me your ovaries weren't bursting when he was like, can I help you golf?
I know.
It was so cute.
But imagine that, but it's a little half and half Rachel Josh.
I think I'd hate it. I didn't say that. But I think I would have a very hard time if I had a child that looked like me and acted like me. I'd be like, you little twat.
Yes, but it'd also be hilarious. People say they say it's the best thing that ever happened to them, and I believe that.
Yeah. But also, like, what if money is the best thing? Hashtag disposable income?
Yes, your boy loves straight cold hard cash.
Yeah. But I truly do think that's like one of my like solidifying factors in like us being together is like you and I will truly be happy for the rest of our lives if we don't have kids.
Yes.
I know that.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong.
I think we had a good conversation about this the other day where it was just like, we'll just try for like 6 months or a year. And if it doesn't happen, we'll just move on.
Move on.
There's no reason to dwell on it.
Right. But then I feel like it's like once you start trying, you're like, why can't this happen? Why can't I make this work? And then I'm a perfectionist, so I'll want to like really hone in.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress.
Yeah.
Kids, how soon or too soon? How soon? I truly believe if you don't know who you are as a partner or a spouse, it's too soon for you to have a child. Mm-hmm. Because that's a whole nother dynamic. Like, I want you to know how to be a husband before you're a father. I want to know how mm-hmm. to be a good wife to you before I'm a mother to someone else.
The craziest thing is, like, I can remember girls in, like, 10th and 11th grade walking around pregnant. I'm like,
I know.
And it was just like, okay, yeah, whatever, she's pregnant. It's like, as a 15, 16, 17-year-old, you're like, okay, cool. Like, they're going to have a kid soon. But now thinking back, it's so insane. So crazy. Like, you're living at your parents'.
Can you imagine how traumatizing that is for teen moms?
Oh, your parents start taking care of you and your kid while you're trying to take care of your kid and your school.
Yeah, and you're still trying to grow up.
Still trying to grow up.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Teen parenthood. Super shout out to any teen parents that listen, because I think teen parenthood is... I mean, it's an inevitable part of life.
It makes you grow up quick.
But oh my God. And we know people. We have people in our lives that, I mean, you almost lose to all of your friends. Because if you have a kid at 17, 18 years old, your friends are out fucking around. They are not emotionally mature enough to handle parenthood
mm-hmm.
or watching parenthood or being a partner in parenthood. Like, it's hard out here.
Yeah.
But... team, maybe kids.
Yeah, team. Us. Yeah, team on the fence.
Team on the fence. I asked you this question before, but what is the best way to have the conversation of "I'd like you to play less video games"?
First of all, don't ask.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. That's tough.
Because you really have to read the situation. Like with Josh and I, we already had a very open line of communication. And we had talked through a lot of that. Like I felt like for a while, I felt like I can't ask you to not play video games because it's not like I'm asking you to do anything else that's more fun than video games. I just want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
I just want to like sit with you while I watch the Mindy Project. Like, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah. So I don't know. You can ask it, but it's on the person playing the video games to respect that ask and put like decent parameters around their time on video games. Like, you can never be like a mom to them and take their controller away.
No, God, no.
But you can ask it, and if it doesn't change, that could, you know, that could be a red flag for certain situations.
Yeah. I feel like your worst time gaming was like beginning of the pandemic. You had just gotten laid off and you're playing video games every day. And it was not a healthy coping mechanism. But were any of us coping?
We were coping. Well,
at the beginning of the pandemic.
We lost the apartment. We moved back in with your mother.
Yeah. Like,
we were coping hard.
You lost your job.
Lost my job. Like.
Yeah. But, and I, that's the thing about video games is it's an escape. Like alcohol, like marijuana, like sex for some people. Like anything in excess is not a good thing. But I like that when you play video games, like it's a community thing. So you're playing with your cousin or you're playing with your best friends or you're it's a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like rarely are you just getting lost in the sauce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but I do love getting lost in the sauce. Don't get it twisted. I'll get lost in the sauce in my own imagination and in some fantasy realm for sure.
Yeah.
But it is better with the community, for I would say.
Yeah. But that's another thing.
But just have the conversation.
Also,
talk to them. If they're playing for 8 hours a day, if that's probably an issue. Unless they're trying to like go famous or pro. Which there's a big market for that. So.
If you're on YouTube, you're seeing the look I'm giving the camera. There's a market for that. Okay, let's see. One more. Okay. All right, Joshy. What is the most important thing that will be in our wedding? What are the thing that you're most excited for or the thing that you're going to hold? Like, your takeaway. What do you want to take
away? The playlist. The music.
The music is the most important
thing. I want to impress our MC and DJ with my playlist.
All right. Have you been writing stuff down?
I've been developing a playlist, yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's Aaron and Son.
Aaron and Son, I want to impress you with my music taste, and that's my goal.
Yeah. But what about me, your wife?
Oh. yeah, so probably like, it would probably be like the first look.
Okay.
Is very important to me. I feel like we're gonna do something different. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who listens who will be there. I don't know if that would even be spoiling it.
I don't think it's spoiling it.
We're going to walk down the aisle together. So there's not going to be like some big reveal. Yeah. It's going to be like a 50-50. Like
we are walking this path together.
Yeah. So I think the first look is going to be pretty important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I've always had that.
Just a cultural expectation of seeing your wife walking down the aisle.
Yeah. So the first look is going to be super important. There's gonna be a lot of tears, I'm hoping, which we'll I'm putting see. A lot of pressure on myself about, so there might not be.
You don't need to
and
cry.
And I'm worried about.
I talked to my therapist about that today.
But I would like to get some tears out.
You're emotionally stunted in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you're great at making out. So like potato, tomato, like you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. So. And we can always improve on the emotionally stuntedness.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to like get medicated or go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You're raw dogging life right now.
I'm raw dogging it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm you, and life is. It's not gonna work. We can cut that.
I'm not cutting every single thing. Okay, I'm going to go crazy.
Well, anytime I say we can cut it, you have to cut it.
Mm.
Don't look at the camera just so you can get.
YouTube, you get it. YouTube gets it. Joshua, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. I hope we got enough content to fill an episode.
I do too. We've gone on some weird tangents that I will cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because Josh is a conspiracy theorist. And I think that will rub people the wrong way. It rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. Are there more doors or wheels in the world?
You sold me on wheels.
Put a poll up. I want to see what the answers would be.
Okay, but you sold me on wheels because you talked about like toys that have wheels.
Toys, office chairs, cars.
Yeah. What's the poll for doors? Like, what are people saying? Like, doors.
Like apartment buildings, car doors.
Oh my God.
Sky rises, bathrooms, bathroom stalls.
Oh my God, maybe that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
So it could be doors.
It could be doors. Where else are there doors?
Oh my God. Garage doors.
Garage doors. It's just like shed doors. There's doors everywhere.
Like our fridges doors?
Fridge doors. Oven doors. The
deeper
doors.
You get.
Yeah.
But guess what, babe? It doesn't fucking matter.
No, it doesn't.
We're floating on a rock in space. Nothing matters. I'm pretty sure everything's a simulation. How sure are you that things are a simulation?
100%, yeah.
Oh. So what do you think the cause of the simulation is? Like, do you feel like people pick us out like video game? Like, we're the player?
Yeah, I think we're definitely driven by somebody with a controller for sure.
Really?
Yeah, individually. Like, it's a funny little game for a higher, like, intelligent species.
That is dark.
Yeah. Like a Sims, but, like, way more in-depth and more super character creation. And you get to, like, literally string together their brain and force them to do shit. So.
And so, and as someone who feels this way, you're just like, I'm going to live it up.
And I try to break through the simulation and, like... Like, I'll think to myself, okay, I'm going to walk 3 steps this way, and then I'm going to turn left real quick and, like, try to break through the simulation that way. Like, I'll say in my mind, like, okay, I'm going to keep walking right and then break left. Just to mess with the people playing the game.
Does it work?
Like, as a glitch. I have no idea. I have no clue.
I feel like this is how mental illness is born.
Yeah. Born? You're looking at a freaking petri dish of mental illness. I'm freaking cooking that shit up.
The offsprings of Wyndham, everyone. Here we are.
Don't drink the water.
Is that true?
I think so. I don't know.
I mean, you can't imagine. That's much good.
No, it was Pepsi colored when I was growing up sometimes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like Flint.
Whoa.
Like terrible, like bad water.
So you didn't drink it?
Oh, I drank it.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
You drank dirty water?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think it was?
We used to make mud pies. Little mud pies.
I'm sorry. This is a Nick Miller moment. I can't.
We would have dirty water pops and mud pies. With like rocks and sticks.
Okay. Poverty. Keep it closed. Yeah. Babe. The deeper I go, the darker it gets.
We'll peel back a couple onions every year.
Yeah. I
think that's a healthy pace.
I'll say something to end us out. You keep surprising me.
I will.
I love you. Thank you guys for listening to For Better and Worse Podcast. I'm Rach.
And I'm Josh.
And we out.
Because I live out.